In the days before Medicare and Medicaid, for instance, the poor and elderly were admitted to hospitals at about the same rate they are now and received good care. As a physician, I never accepted Medicare or Medicaid money from the government, and instead offered cut-rate or free services to those who could not afford care. Before those programs came into existence, every physician understood that he or she had a responsibility toward the less fortunate, and free medical care for the poor was the norm. Hardly anyone is aware of this today, since it doesn't fit into the typical by-the-script story of government rescuing us from a predatory private sector. Laws and regulations that inflated the cost of medical services and imposed unreasonable liability standards on medical professionals, even when they were acting in a volunteer capacity, later made offering free care cost prohibitive. But free care for the poor was common at a time when America wasn't so governmentish, to borrow a word from William Penn. We have lost our belief that freedom works because we no longer have the imagination to conceive of how a free people might solve its problems without introducing threats of violence, which is what government solutions ultimately amount to. In From Mutual Aid to Welfare State, Fraternal Societies and Social Services, 1890 to 1967, historian David Beto uncovered some of the story of how people once cared for their needs in the absence of massive bureaucracies and the financial chaos and moral hazard they inevitably cause. Beto focuses particular attention on fraternal organizations, which in decades past provided all kinds of services for their members that we now assume must be handled by the government. With strength in numbers, such organizations were able to negotiate with doctors and get very inexpensive health care as well. On the other hand, just about everyone is unhappy with the health care system we have now, a system some people wrongly blame on the free market. To the contrary, our system is shot through with government intervention, regulation, mandates, and other distortions that have put us in this unenviable situation. It is easy to forget that for decades, the United States had a healthcare system that was the envy of the world. We had the finest doctors and hospitals. Patients received high-quality, affordable medical care. And thousands of privately funded charities provided health services for the poor. I worked in an emergency room where nobody was turned away for lack of funds. People had insurance policies for serious health problems, but paid cash for routine doctor visits. That makes sense. Insurance is intended to protect against unforeseen and catastrophic events like fire, floods, or grave illness. Insurance, in short, is supposed to measure risk. It has nothing to do with that now. Something has obviously gone wrong with the system when we need insurance for routine visits and checkups, which are entirely predictable parts of our lives. Today, most Americans obtain health care either through a health maintenance organization, HMO, or a similar managed care organization, or through Medicare or Medicaid. Since it is very hard to make actuarial estimates for routine health care, HMOs charge most members a similar monthly premium. Because HMOs always want to minimize their costs, they often deny payment for various drugs, treatments, and procedures. Similarly, Medicare does not have unlimited funds, so it generally covers only a portion of any costs. The result of all this is that doctors and patients cannot simply decide what treatment is appropriate. Instead, they constantly find themselves being second-guessed by HMO accountants and government bureaucrats. When a third party is paying the bills and malpractice lawsuits loom, doctors have every incentive to maximize costs and order all possible tests and treatments. The incentive to cut costs is lost as physicians, now working essentially as low-level employees, seek to make as much as they can in the new corporate environment and charge the maximum the HMOs allow. Before 1965, physicians and hospitals, like all other private entities competing for your dollar, strove to charge the minimum. Because payment now comes so largely from third parties, they instead charge the maximum. At the same time, patients suffer when legitimate and necessary treatment is denied. HMOs have become corporate bureaucratic middlemen in our healthcare system, driving up costs while degrading the quality of medical care. In all other industries, technology has nearly always led to lower prices, except in healthcare, thanks to the managed care system that has been forced upon us. In fact, with costs skyrocketing due to this system, more and more Americans are actually traveling overseas to get high-quality, inexpensive healthcare. 500,000 of them took this route in 2005 alone. It is not unusual to be able to get an operation in India at the hands of Western-trained physicians for 60% less than it would cost in the United States. The story behind the creation of the HMOs is a classic illustration of what economist Ludwig von Mises once said. Government interventions create unintended consequences that lead to calls for further intervention, and so on into a destructive spiral of more and more government control. During the early 1970s, Congress embraced HMOs in order to address concerns about rising healthcare costs. But it was Congress itself that had caused healthcare costs to spiral by removing control of the healthcare dollar from so many consumers in the 1960s, and thus eliminating any incentive to pay attention to costs when selecting healthcare. Now, Congress wants to intervene yet again to address problems caused by HMOs, the product of still earlier interventions.